could be the disturbance caused by such solar activity or those other idiots with their podes and antipodes. The article also noted the high correlation of suicides, industrial mishaps, divorce, and insanity during heavy sunspot peaks like this one. Dr. Gauquelin also told Mr. Sandham, the journalist, that these effects could last for up to 4 more years. That was a gross understatement. I now want to show you a computer-generated graph. This graph, you saw it, didn't you? What's the matter with you? Your cameraman, get on the ball. There it is. See, it's got years on it. See here? 1977 through 1986. Now, this graph is a correlation of relative planetary positions against time. If all 9 planets were to be aligned in a straight line from the sun outward, like this picture I drew here, if that rare phenomenon occurred where all 9 planets got in line at the same time, that would be, on this computerized chart, on a scale of 1 to 9, that would be a 9. Got it? If the planets were to be unaligned as much as possible, the graph would show a dot on the value 4.55. Now, don't ask me why that is right now. It goes from 4.55 to 9. Okay? So, looking at alignments of the planets in time, when they're all lined up in one spot, that's 9. If they're unaligned as much as they can be, just scattered around in the orbits all the way around the sun, so the magnetic pull is displaced and diffused among them all, the furthest possible displacement, that's 4.5 on the scale that he's going to put on this chart. You got that. On this chart, there are dotted reference lines. See that? No, you don't get to see it till I'm ready to let you see it. And will you get to see it? Yes. Because that's what I've done, everything I've done tonight for, if you're nice. Joe, go get the book. Okay, fine, help yourself. Go West Australian Texas Trading. There are dotted reference lines on this chart to help the reader quickly assess what months and years have had and will have very high relative planetary position quotients. Getting close to 9. I mean, this old world is going to really shake when it gets to 9. And if you're one of those idiots jabbing, you better do your jabbing when it's 4.55, not when it's 9. Got that? Because the stress is maximized when they're 9. If, please note the conditional tense, if this method of approximating the timing of sunspot activity is valid, which he puts a condition on it, because it's a computerized product, then the next 7 years may hold 18 periods of solar activity that will be far more disastrous for mankind than any of those in the past 3,563 years. From 1980 to 1987 to 1988, because the year starts in the middle of the 80s. Solar activity has portent of the disastrous consequences of sunspot explosions greater than any time in the past 3,563 years. How did the pyramid and the Bible figure that out years ago? That this kind of disturbance would happen in this time span as we move on the calendar to the days of the rapture and the tribulation. Now, this graph that I'm going to show you, you're getting mad now, aren't you? This graph, shall I stop? Why not? Let's just stop. Why don't we just stop? Why don't we just stop? Will you call me if I'm nice? I saw some. Who's over there? Oh, that's Peter. I saw a head come up and go back down. Like Groundhog Day. That's Peter staying over there by the heater switch. I mean, I so scared him with the antipode theory, he's staying right by the cooler. Do you realize for 3,563 years, right now we're moving into the worst period, and there are people standing around glibly down here on Seal Beach saying, well, when the summer comes, I'll forget how bad it was. Wait till you go through 7 years of it. Now, this graph is only one of some 630 produced by this author on a Hewlett-Packard computer. Now, you computer experts, listen. The computer, an HP System 45, crunched through 2 billion calculations and drew these graphs in a little under 2.5 days. The calculations were simply those of running a mathematical model of the solar system in reverse motion for 6,000 years. A computer can do this. Feeding 2 billion calculations into it, it crunches through 2.5 days and assimilates the data, and in essence, from a mathematical projection, as we can, the motions of these bodies, the factors of the precessionals, all those things fed into the computer. 6,000 years they reversed it to see when the alignments of those planets would intensify. The figures on the graph are only monthly position checks. Slight variations in some of the figures will occur on a daily position check. So these are monthly figures. The reader will note, because this was written, the reader will note that the highest peak shown on the graph occurs blank, 19 blank. My dad's sitting over there going, there are times he almost hates me, you know that? Not really. When you can frustrate your mom and dad, you know, you can really, they're a good thermometer for me. I mean, they're sitting there, Lord knows they've lived enough years and worked hard enough that they ought to be in bed. Stan, Ethel, mom and dad, and they're sitting there, and here I am tantalizing. If they could whip me, they'd take me home and do it tonight. Put the camera on him. He's nodding his head. Isn't that right, Dad? Yeah, that's right. The reader will note that the highest peak on the graph occurs. See, he was writing in 1982. February 1982. Now you may understand why last year and this year is going so nuts. If Dr. Gribben's hypothesis is correct, then the accumulative effects of sunspot activity triggered by certain planetary positions may not return to an acceptable level until long after 1986 or 7. Cheer up, saints. It's going to get worse. Now, there are dropped lines on this chart that mark along the chart that has graph lines also. The dropped lines were generated by the computer whenever the relative planetary position quotient exceeded a statistical critical value of 6. 9 is the worst. 4.55 is bottom. They're diffused the most. When it moves toward 9, where they're all lined up, to where the quotient reaches 6, anything from 6 to 9 in the alignment is dangerous. Got that? So as the graph is laid out over the years, a dropped line was written by the computer every time it went over the danger zone 6. The reader will note, you haven't seen it yet, that both the solar flare of May and the giant sunspot of July-September occurred or were initiated on the only two near-critical peaks in 1978. Each of those great sunspots correlate to this Hewlett-Packard graph that shot back for 6,000 years and timed the alignment of the planets that would put the stress correlates with sunspots. Recent history sunspot activity correlated with this planetary alignment past the critical zone of 6. The author has also made a preliminary study of ancient history in correlation to the last 6,000 years of planetary motions, as shown by the other 600 charts not in this book. This is one chart out of 630 produced in the experiment. Are they going? You want to buy this book? That's crazy. In 49 out of the 50 major revolutions and wars of the last 3,500 years, the graph's high peaks match the event to the year. The graph's peaks also agree to the year with the biblical dates for the flood of Noah and the exodus of Israel from Egypt, amidst great geological distress and plagues of vermin. You say, well, does that rule out God doing things? No, He set the whole thing in motion. He can work miracles, but if He can work through the processes that are there, He's not adverse to that. Early in 1977, the President of the United States, Mr. Carter, announced a few details of a top-secret Pentagon project codenamed Noah's Ark. It is supposedly a system of some 96 bunkers and bolt holes which have been established at various places on or near the Earth to house approximately 6,500 key officials in case of a nuclear war. Many of these bolt holes are underground cities complete with streets, sidewalks, lakes, small electric cars, apartments, and office buildings. One city is said to be carved out of a mountain near Washington. It is called Mount Weather. One other such city is most probably located at each of the super, last night's study, at each of the super VLF broadcast stations around the planet. One wonders why the project was codenamed Noah's Ark. Any biblical student knows that Noah's Ark has to do with a weather calamity, not a nuclear war. Carter would have been better advised calling it something like Project Gomorrah or Project Sodom and Gomorrah or Project Brimstone if his nuclear warfare he's worried about. Yet he chose a weather calamity. Could it be that he, like other and many other senior statesmen and key scientists, know something that we don't know? The earth heading for a severe weather catastrophe? If so, you can sure understand why they ain't telling anybody. It appears a new solution is needed. It'll come. I can tell you that. Want to see the chart? Let's see if I can show it to you. Come on in here, Jim. Let's see if I can relate all of this. Here's the scale on the right. Now, follow me closely, Jim. It starts down here at 4.5556 is the danger zone. That line 6, it means that any time planetary alignment moves up toward 9, and you don't see it anywhere on this scale, if it passes 6, it means probably 2 or 3 of the planets or a cluster of them are starting to line up. So anytime it goes over 6, we got a danger zone of stress on the sun. Got it? These computerized charts, this is one of 630, that went back for 6,000 years and projected the alignments of the planets in 1980. This is when he was doing it, right here. Followed, this graph shows the varying alignments of the planets, 1977 right on up to 1986. And sunspot activity that is related. When the planets, right here for example, the planets were lined up a little over 5. Sunspot activity is peaking up this high. Here when it's almost lined up to 6, but not quite, you see the increase in sunspot activity. And here's, I'll get over this eventually. Somebody lined them up wrong on me. I just had a spittle orbit collision. And it caused a magnetic explosion of the windpipe. Almost to the danger zone. Me and Dad been getting those rather frequently of late. Must be something. See how good I am to you. I'm finishing this for you in great pain. When the sunspot danger and the orbital lineup, the two go together. The sunspot activity is in exact coordination with the increase of lineup as it gets close to this line 6. The drop line says we're at the danger zone here, these little red drop lines. Here in 1980, there was a heavy lineup of them for almost 2 or 3 months. And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drop lines during that year with the accompanying sunspot activity. Then it's going to cool off a little bit into 1982. Then bang, look out. 1982, look at the activities. Could this be warm up for the next tribulation? The next bad time? Tribulation? Look at the sunspot activity in 82 and 83 and the drop lines through here, and you may understand why there's so much going on. Now, here is an extended, here's a peak time of stress. But in some respects, continued stress at a lower level is even worse. Look out when 84 and 85 zooms on the horizon at this long extended period of stress. Cheer up, saints. Going to get worse. Now, how did the pyramid and those Bible prophets years ago figure out 2,000 and 4,000 years ago that this was going to happen in this compressed period at the end of the age, as the Bible describes it, when earthquakes and famine and floods and a big star called Wormwood falls out of the heavens? And tell me that God's Word doesn't keep the saints on alert. Christians have known what was going to happen at the end of the age for years and just reading their Bible. All we're doing now is using science and other sources to explain what the Bible said was going to happen. Once more, it's proven God's Word comes out on target. God says something, He does it. God's in control. Do you really believe that somebody that handles all of this can't handle your affairs? That's the point we're making. I'll read you something. October 21st, 1978. The incident occurred on a flight between Melbourne, Australia, and a small island to the south of Melbourne. An experienced instructor pilot for the Air Training Corps was alone on a routine night flight to King Island. His aircraft, a Cessna 182, was flying at an altitude of about 4,000 feet. The pilot, Frederick Valentich, was only flying to the island to pick up a load of lobsters for some of the officers of the ATC. His flight plan gave his estimated arrival time at King Island as 7:28 p.m. Valentich had planned to make the round trip that same night and be back in Melbourne by 10 p.m. He never made it to King Island, or much worse, back to Melbourne. The official transcript of the last voice contact held between the missing pilot and Melbourne's flight service unit was released 24 hours later by the Australian Department of Transport. It is self-explanatory. You want to hear it? 7:06 p.m. The pilot asks Melbourne Flight Control if there is any known traffic in his area below the 5,000-foot altitude. Now, Rick, if you were flying and you saw something, is that normal for you to ask, is there any known traffic below the 5,000-foot altitude if you're flying? Altitude? Melbourne, you got the camera on him, haven't you? Is that normal, Rick, or not? Okay. Melbourne Control responds, no known traffic. This is an official transcript. Valentich, seems to be a large aircraft below 5,000 feet. Put on, Rick. Would you ever argue with a air control if you saw something and they said no known traffic? Would you say, well, there's something here? Okay. Melbourne Control, what type of aircraft? We don't have any there. What type? Valentich. I can't confirm. It has four bright lights, appear to be landing lights. Aircraft has just passed over me about 1,000 feet above. Melbourne Control. Is large aircraft confirmed? This is the last known conversation. Want me to quit?
No.
Melbourne Control. Is large aircraft confirmed? Valentich. Affirmative. At the speed it's traveling, are there any RAAF, that's Royal Australian Air Force aircraft, in the vicinity? Melbourne Control. Negative. 7:08 p.m., 2 minutes later. Valentich. Melbourne. It's approaching from east towards me. It seems to be playing some kind of game, flying at speed I cannot estimate. Melbourne Control. What is your altitude? Berlinic. 4,500 feet. Melbourne Control. Can you confirm that you cannot identify aircraft? Berlinic. Affirmative. 7:09 p.m., 1 minute later. Berlinic. It's not an aircraft, it's... Apparently the transmission was broken here, but only long enough to miss the magic words. Air Traffic Control, Department of Transport, release the transcript. Something's broken there, something missing. Melbourne Control, continues now. Can you describe the aircraft? Valentic. Shall I or shall I not? Shall I be nice or shall I be ornery? Melbourne Control, can you describe the aircraft, Valentic? It's flying past. It's flying past. It's a long shape. I cannot identify more than that. Coming for me right now. It seems to be stationary. I'm orbiting and the thing is orbiting on top of me also. It has a green light and a sort of metallic light on the outside. It just vanished. Melbourne Control, confirm it has vanished. Berlinic, affirmative. Do you know what sort of aircraft I've got? Is it military? Melbourne Control, no, there's no military traffic in the area. 7:12 p.m., 3 minutes later. Berlinic. Engine is rough idling and is coughing. Melbourne Control, what are your intentions? How's that for a bureaucratic question? Melbourne Control, what are your intentions? Valentic. Proceeding to King Island. Unknown aircraft now hovering on top of me. Melbourne Control acknowledged Valentic's last message, just quoted to you, before they heard a long metallic noise on his radio frequency. Then it was silent. Valentic nor his aircraft have as yet been found. Subsequent interviews with the pilot's father, Guido Valentic, have revealed that his son had told him, quote, he had seen classified material at the Royal Australian Air Force Base which confirmed his beliefs in the existence of UFOs. Yep. He was awfully close to the territory where Pine Gap's research facility is. Would you be interested in me talking to you at all about UFOs one of these days? That's a pretty scary report. Let me tell you, there's something else besides what his daddy had to say. We'll get to that some other time. Good night, everybody.